Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and Merry Christmas if you happen to be celebrating Christmas today with your family. Maybe you had something yesterday or traveled yesterday, and maybe you got home today to be with your family. Nonetheless, based on how we do it now, it's now considered to be after Christmas. But many years ago, like over 1,000 years ago, I believe, maybe more like 700-800 years ago, Christmas used to last for 12 days. And starting with 26th or so, or either the 25th or 26th of December. And so, nonetheless, and also if you look at the Catholic Church, they believe in the 12 days of Christmas, and they believe that period we went through earlier when I was doing all these Christmas songs and that, which, by the way, I'm still going to do a couple today. But this will likely be the last time that I do. According to many devout Catholics, Catholic churches, many very devout ones, it is considered that period, that the four Sundays before Christmas are considered Advent, and that Christmas starts with Christmas Eve. And also, so they say that Christmas goes up until Epiphany, which is the 6th of January, and even to the 13th, which is believed to be the day of the baptism of Jesus. But I meant to talk about that later, but I don't know why I just did. But nonetheless, it's great to have you with us today, wherever you may be accessing the show. I am live from McDonald's here in Midland. I'm actually at Eastman today because we had to go to a pharmacy that was near it. And so we're at the Eastman McDonald's, 4925 Eastman Avenue. We are a mile south of Midland Mall, right-hand side of the road. If you're coming south, we're on the right-hand side of the mall. I mean, right-hand side of the road, excuse me. Nonetheless, I'm here at McDonald's, and near the front of the restaurant, if you want to come say hi to me, you can, as I'm doing this show live in here today. And here's the plan for today. I'm going to read the verses on faith today, and then what's going to happen is I'm going to exhort on that, and then I'm going to exhort about the faith, and I'm going to call this Building Your Faith for the New Year. I'm going to talk about how to build your faith up for the new year and to think about, what do I want to happen next year? As we are going into New Year's. And don't worry, I am going to, but with this being the 26th of December, this will be the last time I'll do this. I am going to talk a little bit for a few minutes about, like, what I did Christmas and would like input from other people on what they did. I'm even going to invite the preacher man to tell us what he did. And so we're going to do that. Also,
right,
we have a bunch of sports to get to, as far as football, and some divisions have been clinched where other teams have been eliminated from the playoffs. Also, we have a little bit of college football to get to. And so, and also, I am going to do what will likely be the final Christmas songs that I sing on the show for the year. So, with all this in mind, start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show. I thank you, Lord God, for these great listeners. I thank you, Lord God, that these listeners are ready to listen to what's going to be imparted into them. I thank you that they have the heart to listen, Lord God. And I claim that this season, as we had the initial Christmas day yesterday, Lord, but I claim that somehow this season between now and New Year's, even if they only have the weekend off, even then, I pray that in the name of Jesus that somehow this can be a time of rest for people and that they can take some time and look back, look ahead, and just believe you, Lord God. So, and I just thank you, Lord God, that you bless these people. I thank you, Lord God, that this audience grows mightily. And I thank you, Lord God, that just as this money comes in for that great equipment of mine. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Now, I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read all of Hebrews 11, and then we're going to read the first few couple of verses of Hebrews 12. And then, preacher man, I have Isaiah with me, but I forget exactly what chapter that scripture is in, where it talks about not forgetting the former things.
All right, Philippians chapter 3.
I thought it was in Isaiah also.
Isaiah 40. Yeah, I'll find that one in Isaiah too for you.
Yeah, because in talking about the new year, which I said I'm going to do, I'm going to use that word. And then next time, what I'm going to talk about is the right way to close out the old year. It's going to be next. So, folks, as we've brought you to Christmas, we're going to show you about how to biblically close out the new year, open up the new one. And tonight, I felt like God wanted me to talk about building faith for the new year. You know, for like things you want to see happen. So, with that in mind, with faith in mind, here we go. Being sure of what we hope for, the certainty of what we do not yet see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. And when God spoke well of his offerings, and now he still speaks, even though he is dead, referring to Abel. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. And then, here we go. I'm just turning the page. Sorry about that. And when he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who believes, I mean, anyone who comes to him, he needs to first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed me, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as Isaac and Jacob did, who were heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was to become a father because he considered him who had made the promise faithful. And he was as good as dead, and the descendants were numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. And if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned with that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites of Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him was invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flame and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They weren't also in sheepskins and goatskins. Destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And there was, the world was not worthy of them. And they wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves in hopes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And then, therefore, we're starting chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, preacher man, where did you say that verse was about let not ye forget the former things?
That verse is in Isaiah 43 and Philippians 3.
Isaiah 43, verse what?
18.
Okay, so folks, I'm going to find that real quick. And then, folks, if you got your Bible with you, if you'd please turn to Isaiah 43. And just hang on a second. I'm just reading these real quick. You grew out of the chariots and battles. The army went around together, and they lay there. Not much of it. Water cries again. Externally, you know, it's like, you know, just reading real quick. Forget not the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it swings up. Not be. Let's go to. I feel like I should start with 15. So, and I'm gonna go to. Let me just see 20 real quick. And the desert streams. My songs begin. I see people my choice. The people I formed in myself that they may proclaim. My prey. We're going to start with 15 and we're going to go to 20. So here we go. Isaiah 43, 15 to 20. And it starts out with this. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again. Extinguished. Snuffed out like a wick. So it was basically burn out. And then, forget ye not the former things. Do not dwell upon the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wastelands. The wild animals honor me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. What basically that means is, don't forget the things that God did for you. The good former things are the things you can remember. But don't always be dwelling in the past. And it talks about how God is the provider. So what this means is, the world makes what's called New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to, you know, do this. I'm not going to eat so much McDonald's anymore. I'm going to quit drinking my Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper.
Don't be doing that, man.
Some of you succeed, but most of you fail within a couple months of trying. Nonetheless, no, I'm not going after McDonald's. I'm talking about the resolutions. But if you have resolutions like that, or any resolutions, maybe it's to read your Bible more. Maybe it's to you know, find a new great spirit-filled church. Maybe that's what it is. What you need to do is get God involved in these resolutions. And you need to have faith in God that he will help you with these things that you're believing for to happen for you. It could be, it doesn't always have to be spiritual. It can be that maybe one of your resolutions maybe is, or is maybe, it could be, maybe I would like to go on a cruise for Christmas next year or something maybe. And you start believing God for the money and the provision and for the deals. Preacher man, you have something you'd like to add? Because I want to give you an opportunity to do so. Any verses or anything? Yes, I can hear you. You got anything you'd like to add? I'm not done. I was just giving you a chance to chime in.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always interesting that we don't have any question about how to deal with a new season of life. Because when it gets warm, we take off our flannel shirts and our boots, right?
Yep.
When it gets cold, we put them on. And it should be no different with the beginning of a new year. It's a new year. It's a new time. Let's do some new things. Let's finish up what, you know, like our pastor always says, let's finish out this year in the right way. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to get right, get right. But most of all, end it right and start the new one right. That's what I got to say. And that's a great verse, one of my favorite verses that you're using. I use it every year.
Amen. Thank you. And as Preacher Man just said, you know, start the, you know, finish the old year right and strong. Start the new year right. And so you're thinking, maybe I made all these resolutions of things last year, whether spiritual or not so. And let's say none of them came to pass. And let's say only a couple of them came to pass and the other ones didn't. Well, maybe you didn't try enough. Maybe you never asked God to help you. Maybe the reason you didn't get that promotion that you resolved, that you made your resolution and said that it was something you wanted to happen for you this year, maybe the reason you didn't get it is because you didn't talk to God about it. And you didn't ask him for it. So that it would help you more so be something you really wanted to pursue. Now, things like, if you're making a resolution to read your Bible and pray more, what you got to do then is, you know, start picking up your Bible a bit more. Then you pray, have the faith in God, and you ask him, Lord God, help me, Lord God, make it for me, Lord God, so that I want to read my Bible more, that I want to pray more. This is just examples. There's so many examples out there. Maybe it's that you're still smoking maybe just a couple cigarettes a day and you'd like to quit. I've never smoked in my life, but I'll tell you something. Tobacco is very hard to quit. What you need to do is ask God to help you. If you get God involved in quitting something like that, it's going to make it so much easier and better. If you let him speak to you and talk to you and show you. Because you just do it on your own, it's not going to go as well. You get God involved. That's where you're going to get results. And that is in the making of resolutions and setting goals of whether it be, you know, maybe I know there's a couple things I'd like to do next year. There's a couple trips I'd like to take. One is one is to go to Atlanta, and the other is to go to Texas, and even if not next year, the year after. But I'm going to believe God and stuff and all that. And I was just saying about me, I'm absolutely not going to publicly give out my list of all my resolutions for next year, because much of it is between you and God. This brings up something we actually do at church. At church, generally after Christmas, one of the very last services of the old year, what we will do is, well, pastor will give us a white sheet. On this white sheet will be things that we want to leave behind us this year. Could be bad habits. It could be maybe things of, I'm not reading my Bible enough, I'm not praying enough, I'm struggling with this, my attitude stinks, I don't like myself. Those are kinds of things you put on there. You don't put any humans on the list. You know, we tease about this. My pastor teases all the time, but he means it. But and then we do that. We write those things down, and we go up to the altar, and we stomp on, tear and shred and stomp on these things, whatever they are, sins, habits, whatever. You know, and you basically say, devil, you're not going with me into next year, 2018. And then after that, he gives us another sheet. No, we don't have to fill it all, this other sheet out right there during the service. We can put it, you can put it like in your Bible, in your prayer book or whatever, so that over time, if God wants you to add things or you want to add things to your list of resolutions, you can, or we like to call them commitment, you can put it on that piece of paper. And we pray over these things. Our church pastor will pray over these things and lead us in a confession to help us. And that is my building faith for the new year. And it takes faith, you know, and you gotta be, of course, in order to do that, you gotta be thinking about what you want. You know, what do I want to change? Be it health-wise, be it getting closer to God, be it travel, maybe a promotion, maybe a different career choice. You got to get it to God, because God really does want to be involved in your life. This includes making your New Year's resolutions, and as I like to call them, commitments. You know, things that you want to happen for you. Maybe it's something like through your healing to be made manifest. I know it is with mine. That's going on there. I already told you something else that's going on my list, and I'm not going to tell you anymore. I have some other things, but they're between me and God. So when I look at this year, one of my resolutions that I had written was that I would end up getting my degree and graduating from Delta. That happened. It took faith.
Amen, it did.
Work to get me there. I had to build up the faith, you know. At one point in one of my classes, I had to work a little harder. I'll admit it. You know, and God helped me, and I did it. No, it wasn't like I was failing or anything, but I wanted to do a little bit better than what I was doing in that particular class, and God helped me. And I was able to end up not only passing, but getting a very good grade in this class.
That's awesome.
And I got my degree. And, you know, you got to have that faith for that promotion. You got to have faith, or you believe in that for that traveling thing, whether it be for missions or that place you want to go to for vacation, or in my case, both of these are places I've been to, but I want to go back. By the way, let me get on this for a minute. This has nothing to do with resolutions, not even spiritual, but this is just me. And here we go. A lot of people will say, man, I don't like going to the same place over and over and over every year. I say, I don't necessarily go to the same places every year, but after a couple of years, if it's one of my favorite places, for example, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, which I'm getting ready to go to in a couple of days, by the way, Texas, which I've been to once, Chicago, Cincinnati, Mall of America. Don't worry, there'll be some other places, but there's certain places that in my mind always scream comeback. And many of them are southern places like Chattanooga, Florida, Atlanta, Dallas, Houston. And let's face it, I am a southern guy in a northern man's body. let's face this. This cold that we're dealing with outside, these wind chills below zero, I absolutely detest. I'm not going to use the HAT word, you know, HATE, you know, because, you know, that's how God actually feels about the six things. But what I'm talking about is the next level below that, and that is detest. I detest these very cold wind chills. You know, luckily I got a coat, but, you know, I'm going to Nashville in a couple of days, and when I get there, it's going to be about 20 degrees warmer than up here,
mm-hmm.
but
yep.
I'd like it to be a bit more than that, but, you know, you can't always control the weather, but nonetheless, the weather is just one reason why I like the South. I love the accents. I love the people, there's so many awesome people down there. And in general, I think small towns in the South are more diverse than, say, small towns up here, I feel like. You know, and it's, they're more spread out. And, you know, well, the food, the hospitality is a bit different. And these big cities, like I just said, Houston, Atlanta, and in the case of Houston, Atlanta, and Dallas, for example, they got some nice big malls that are actually inside the city. In the case of Atlanta, you can take a train to right across the road from the mall. Actually, in Atlanta, there's one train you can take that goes to the airport, then it goes to downtown, then a little bit after that, you end up right by that particular mall I just said. By the way, I'm sorry I was hitting a button, but we come in?
Yeah.
Good. I was just making sure, that's all, that we didn't lose anything. But nonetheless, I was still saying, and last time I was in Atlanta was 3 years ago. I haven't been in Dallas or Houston for 5, so I'd like to get to both in 1 year, but who knows? I'm going to believe God, but one might be next year, the other might be the next year. I'm still thinking of what it's going to be, but nonetheless, I love the South. Awesome people. And when I was doing all these NFC games and talking about who I thought was going to win the NFC South, you know, and all this crazy stuff, that is and was not me being biased. I was talking about those Southern teams because the NFC South has been very competitive. So what this rant's about is just, you know, me and the South and in general why I like it, love it a bit more than up here. And keep in mind, some places of the South get extremely humid at summer. I'm looking at you, Montgomery and the coast of Alabama, Houston, Texas, Memphis. But then you got Chattanooga and, to a degree, Atlanta, which are a bit less humid. And Atlanta's a little more humid than Chattanooga, but it's still tolerable. Nashville is a bit more humid than either one of the two, I think. But nonetheless, I'm getting on off this rant, but nonetheless, is what I'm believing God for, is to go back to next year, either Atlanta or to Texas. Whether it be Dallas, Houston, or both within that clip. I'm still thinking about which one I'm going to write down on that list. I'm already going to Nashville. I'm leaving on the 29th of December, or get back on the 2nd. So I'm not going to write Nashville down because I will have been there for basically a full day of the new year. So I'm actually going to put something down that I haven't been to in a few years. You know? Nonetheless, whether it's, if you believe in God for big stuff like that, whether it be a trip, whether it be, you know, even if it's your healing, which, if it's a miracle, you know, maybe it's not a financial cost, but you still got to believe God. that he'll do what he said he would do in his word. You've got to have that faith. And you've got to have that expectation. And here's what the expectation is. I'm going to summarize it as this. God is going to do some things for me this year. I will not the way I entered it. I will come out of 2018 a better person than what I started 2018. That's how it's got to look. Is God going to help me? I'm going to work on some things. I know I'm not perfect. And you got to be able to have some things you want, like I said about that trip, you know, my healing. But you also could have, like, spiritual goals, reading your Bible more, being nicer to people, you know, a thing like that, having a good attitude, you know. And then, you know, basically through that, you set that goal and you say, God is going to turn some things around for me this year. And that I will not leave the year, next year, the way I entered it. Like what we say all the time when we go to church, that I don't leave the church door. I don't walk out of church the way I enter the church. That's a good mindset to have for you this year. Now, next time we meet, I'm going to talk about how to close out the old year. You know, a year is like an account. And after today, there's 5 days left in the account. And then after that, we go into a new account. 2018. No, I'm not talking about a bank account number. I'm talking about a year. Just thought I should clarify that. But it's a new account of life. It's a new book. You know? So I'm going to talk about some ways how to properly close it. Then we're going to talk about how to open it. And dear Lord, I just thank you that you bless these people for listening to my great word of encouragement on building faith and knowing that, Lord God, you can help us as we get ready to write these things down that we want for next year. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to help us and that we're going to keep reminding you, Lord God, and praying. Not being all demanding about it, but just having that faith that you'll help us and that you'll be that provider and that you'll make that way where there seems to be no way. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you will be with us as we walk from 2017 into 2018. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you be with us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk about, give you guys kind of a Christmas update on what did I get for Christmas this year, you know, what did I see the last couple of days I was out and about, like what I had seen, like, traffic wise and stuff. And so here we go. So Sunday night and Monday, I went up to my grandpa's house, my mother's father's house, up in the Osceola County on 20 Mile Road. About 15 or 20 minutes southwest of Cadillac. And we're up there. Beautiful house, by the way. My grandpa has a beautiful home. We had a great time. This is the first time that I actually spent Christmas Eve night at a house other than my parents, my mother's house that I know of. And I think it went good, but it was a bit different. But it was still great to be with Grandpa and my Aunt Marilyn and Uncle Dale and Cousin Sarah and her kids on both Christmas Eve night and Christmas Day. It was awesome. We celebrated. We ate some great food. My favorite was this thing called hot dog pizza.
I like the sound of that.
Oh, amen. Me too. Glory to God. He can hold it rather than one to the one to the one to the one day. That's what I was thinking when I was eating it too. And it is awesome. You know, little pieces of hot dog inside that pizza. And my Uncle Brian makes it. And it is heavenly. But we had that Christmas Eve. And then Tuesday we had some wonderful turkey. Very good stuff. We had some great desserts and great pies. And basically, what did I get? Well, of course, Santa Claus had to give me some candy. And then I ended up getting a couple shirts, a sweater, a pair of wonderful pajamas from my Aunt Marilyn. And then I got a promissory paper, which is some tickets for me to my brother to go to for me and my brother to go to a Pistons game.
Come on.
In the next couple of months, so we're gonna be doing that. That was one thing I asked for, and so we're gonna be doing that. And the other part, I knew I was going if I wanted to, but to me, I kind of feel like, even though I didn't leave yet, in a way, to me, I feel like this, me going to Nashville, in a way, was kind of at last minute. I didn't know about it until a few weeks ago that we were actually going to go. In a way, to me, this is kind of a Christmas present, you know, even though it's not necessarily, but to me, it kind of is. You know, because it's around this time of year, and so I kind of look at it as one, and we're going because Monica wanted to go, and my dad wanted to go to a certain church that's down there, Pastor McMichael's, who is over in the Cookeville area, which is a bit east of Nashville. And so, you know, even so, yep, it was a really good Christmas. And then last night I get back home, and we get back home, and I end up going to Shelly Reed. Shelly's the one who sometimes helps me. And I went over to her family Christmas party. Me and my brother are kind of part of that family, and we went over to that Christmas party over at Shelly's sister's, and it was fun. We had some great ham and eggnog and some great stuff like that. Overall, it was just a good time celebrating the birth of the Lord. Yes, I remembered to thank the Lord, you know, for giving his birth. Including between all the other stuff. So, preacher man, what did you do this Christmas?
Well, you know what, bud? I did something totally different than I've ever done.
Okay.
I have a lady who was a secretary for me when I was in the Patriot Guard, and I led that organization for 4 years. And I had a leadership team. They were all from down by Kalamazoo. And she called me this, texted me this year and said, hey, I'd like to have you come over for Christmas dinner. And it was interesting because I thought, well, you know, it seems like I really need to go do this. It's very, very interesting. I don't know. It's unusual for me. So after a couple of requests, I finally said, all right, well, I'm going to go. So I went to Kalamazoo for Christmas dinner. And, well, she's setting the food on the table. She said, hey, Sam, I think you'd enjoy this ancestry book that I made for my brother. And so I started looking at it. And about halfway through the book, I see she's related to some people named Lathrop.
Wow.
And I said to her, I said, that's interesting. I'm related to some people named Lathrop. That's my dad's mother's name. And she said, really? We're probably cousins. I said, well, that's interesting. She said, tomorrow morning, I'll have you the information of how we're related. 11 o'clock this morning, I got a text from her, said, yep, we're related to a man whose name is Reverend John Lathrop. He was born in 1564 and died in 1638. And came over and settled one of the first settlements in Massachusetts.
Wow.
So I did something I've never done before, and I met a cousin I didn't know I had.
Wow.
And found out I was related to some. Well, and I, you know, I've always wondered if how far back I was related to anybody in America. And the Daughters of the American Revolution organization had awarded me with some awards a number of years ago, about 5 years ago. And they said, we really think that you got relatives back there and you need to figure that out. Well, I never did anything with it, but this lady has it all figured out. And very interesting, this man was jailed. He was a pastor. And he was jailed in England for starting house churches. And when he got out of jail, he came to America and began to start full-blown churches. Interesting story in it. That was my Christmas. And then I went and saw a family who's a man whose brother was killed in action in Lebanon, and I stopped and saw my brother. So that was what my day was all about. I drove about 350 miles and had a great day talking about Jesus, God, and listened to my favorite Christmas music yesterday was Toby Mac's album, Christmas album.
Of course. Here's what's funny. I'm younger than you, yet when it comes to Christmas, I go for something much more traditional.
I know, but I couldn't find the Handel's Messiah. So I just settled for Toby Mac.
Yep. Because I like more like much older, like Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby and stuff like that for Christmas. Because that, and people who sound like it, that Perry guy, I forget his name, but stuff like that is kind of like what the malls in Great Lakes Crossing Mall Outlets plays, and the Flint Mall plays it for Christmas, stuff like that, Genesee Valley, and they've been doing stuff like that the last couple of years. But I've been paying attention to them doing it, and I really like that, and that's my favorite kind of Christmas music is stuff like that. And
that's,
you know,
awesome.
Speaking of malls, so Friday and Saturday I was down home with my parents. I had some gifts I had to get, so I got those Friday. Here's the weird thing. You're going to think this is funny. how those 2 days. Friday, we're inside the mall, and there was quite a few people there, but it's not super packed or anything like that. But the parking lot outside, there's hardly nowhere to park. This is at Great Lakes Crossing. There's hardly nowhere to park, and getting out of the parking lot is a pretty big challenge. And then Saturday, on the other hand, I go back to that same mall, and the inside is quite a bit more crowded, but outside we're able to get a parking spot. Different end of the mall, mind you. And we go out the other way of the mall compared to what we did the previous day, and it was a lot easier to get out because we had one out the previous day that balled one way, and that gave us some problems. And then we ended up getting back on the balled one the next day, but it was a lot easier when we were leaving compared to Friday. Whereas another mall, 12 Oaks, they were having serious traffic issues. But keep in mind, that particular mall, the lights are so close together in that area and stuff, and it makes it quite a challenge. And then, I was at Midland today, and considering how far down that place has went in the past 12 months or so, I was surprised that it was as busy today as it was, especially considering that wind chill. I was really surprised. I digress. Sports to get to, I'm going to do my first Christmas carol. This is one I already did, but I don't care. This is a great chorus that you should all know. I believe you would know it. So here we go. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. Sing, are ye hearing? Sing an exhortation. Sing, are ye saints from heaven above? Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Now, you think about that, and you really want to get it straight. This is really only the second day of Christmas, and it goes up to, like, January 5th, if you really think about it. Just something to think about, because I guess I can see why, when people are starting Christmas music before Thanksgiving, why people want to get rid of it by the 26th or 27th of December. I admit, I started before Thanksgiving, but I wasn't ready for the season to end yet either. I got to where I love it. Always have. Not the Grinch. The Grinch is a great movie, though, by the way. And you talk about Christmas movies. I saw a silly Christmas movie on Saturday. Dennis the Menace Christmas. It is so funny. He is being so bad. He even takes down a mall Christmas tree. But nonetheless, I still think it's really funny. Now, I should do a McDonald's ad. If you're out and about taking back some of your gifts and exchanging them, you know, using these gift cards, why not swing by your local McDonald's and pick up an any size soft drink for just a dollar? And I used to say that it was a limited time offer, but it looks like it's going to be here for a while, as it's going to be part of the new value menu that starts on the 4th of January. Nonetheless, go to McDonald's and pick up whatever size soft drink you want, available for a dollar. In addition, so McDonald's have the Christmas pies, the custard pies, as well as eggnog shakes. You can get two Christmas pies for $1.19 plus tax, or you can get a small eggnog shake for just $2. Actually, you can get any size small. I mean, you can get any small McCafe cold beverage for $2. Available at a McDonald's near you. Price and participation may vary. Now, also, if you download the McDonald's app, you'll have to register when you do that. You can register when you download the app to your mobile device. You can register to have deals sent to you. For example, they have a dollar off a large fry right now if you have the app. Keep in mind, you can only use a particular deal, like the dollar off a large fry. You can only use it once within 7 days. And every week, there's different deals. So you have to open the app and look. So enjoy some great deals at McDonald's. And, of course, remember that my Coke is always better than the Preacher Man's Dr. Pepper.
My Dr. Pepper is always better than the Coke. I'm eating a chicken McNugget meal tonight, brother.
I was going to get something myself, but I'm going to get it after I get done doing this. But nonetheless, enjoy some great items courtesy of your McDonald's. Available near you. Go to McDonald's.com for locations. And now it is time for NFL. And sadly, for Lions fans, the Lions on Sunday
sealed their own doom, didn't they?
Yep. First of all, they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals 26-17. They struggled. At certain times, they were in it, but some penalties and some other things got to them, so they end up having to suffer a loss by a score of 26-17 to the lowly Bengals, who are 6-9. In addition, they learned that they were taken out of the playoffs.
Thank you.
About 9-7, 10-6, The 9-7 is still possible, but not the 10-6. So they are out of playoffs. Stafford had he had some problems throwing the football after doing amazing the previous week. So they were kind of streaky. This 2017 calendar year will go down for the first time in many years that no Detroit team was able to make the postseason.
Too bad, isn't it?
Yep, Detroit, we must do better next year. We must do better. I mean, we don't have choice. We've got to do better. Looks like the Pistons are trying. Red Wings, if they could be a bit more consistent, they could have a shot for the 2018 calendar year. I mean, Michigan and Michigan State were both able to get themselves into bowl wins for the football. I mean, the bowl games for the football, which I will get into later in the sports episode. But first, I'm catching up on the NFL. And so, just to say this, Lions out 8-7, but no playoffs. Green Bay Packers are out of the playoffs. They lost to Minnesota. Minnesota gets the second bye. Philadelphia Eagles beat the Raiders last night. Even though the Raiders didn't play so well, the Eagles were able to stop the Raiders on last second. Carolina over Tampa Bay, so they're still alive. But New Orleans is, and they're still atop the NFC South as they beat Atlanta. Atlanta has to win on Sunday if they want to make the playoffs. They have to. Can they beat Carolina? I hope. But it's not gonna be easy. If they lose, then half of that NFC playoff field will be different from last year. You already have Detroit out. You already have Detroit is out. Green Bay is out. Dallas is out. Atlanta, if they lose, they're out. Seattle, they could still squeak in, but they'll have to win in order to do it. And then there's a chance that five of your six teams that made it last year will have to sit out. Yep, Atlanta, Detroit, Green Bay, Seattle. So they're going to have to, you know. But nonetheless, here's what I think you're going to see. Saints are going to win the NFC South. Jaguars already finished up the AFC South. 49ers, they actually got another win on Sunday as they beat up who did the Niners beat on Sunday?
Give me a second here. I'll pull it up.
Yep.
Oh, I got to be able to type. The 49ers. Let's see. 44-33 over Jacksonville.
Oh, yep. 49ers over Jacksonville. So, it was a surprising weekend, honestly. There were some big surprises that I did not see coming. I figured New Orleans would lose, Atlanta would lose to New Orleans. They did. But then there were some other games that I had gotten wrong. I did say, that Philadelphia would win. They did. I said that Detroit would beat Cincinnati. And I'm surprised the Niners got as many wins as
they did.
They
just didn't listen to you.
Yeah. No, they didn't listen to me. No. I said Minnesota would beat Green Bay. They did. And so, that's what your NFL is looking like. Nobody from Texas is making it. The Rams are making it. The Chargers could still make it. So you could have two LA teams in the playoffs. There's a chance. Patriots.
How crazy would that be?
Yeah. Something to have an all LA Super Bowl. We'll see what happens in the playoffs and what happens in the AFC West this week, and that's what's going to determine it. Nonetheless, to college football we go. On Thursday night, MSU takes on Washington State in San Diego in the Holiday Bowl. A prediction to come soon. Also, Michigan taking on South Carolina in Florida on Monday night. On Monday day, actually. And then also in college football on Monday will be the Clemson-Alabama game, as well as the Oklahoma-Georgia game. Predictions again will be coming soon. You also have some other high-profile college football games coming up over this coming weekend. So, to say that thing of if football is still going, oh yeah. And when the NFL playoffs get going in a couple weeks, there will be coverage, and I will keep you posted. I will still pick these games as far as what I see happening. And like I said, these are all guesses. A lot of it is based on what I know. But, of course, there's parity in the NFL. There's parity in college football. Somebody's got to be right. Someone's got to be wrong.
Somebody's got to win, and somebody's going to lose.
Yep. And as I found out that things don't always go the way you think they're going to go. Like, and that even goes to those high school games. Midland, I did well with in general, except for I picked them to lose kind of big in a game that they actually won, and then the last game of the season I said they would win. The first game of the playoffs, actually, I said they would win in advance, and instead they lost. Hey, it's the game. NBA, your big NBA game yesterday. The Warriors over the Cavs. And so that was quite a good game yesterday. Red Wings will be playing again soon. So updates will continue to come. Now you look at baseball. That's going to be starting back up in a couple months as far as the spring training. And when it does, I'll let you know as the Tigers are going to be coming back. So, that does it for your sports update, weekend sports update, as far as what happened over the weekend with the Miracle Man. Now, it is time to do the other. This one is just going to be a chorus because I forgot. I forgot the verses, but it starts something like this. No, it's this one. Something about Christmas time. Something about Christmas time makes you wish it was Christmas every day. You'll see in a smile the children's eyes. Seeing the old people smile. The worst chance of Christmas never go away. There's something about Christmas time. Something about Christmas time makes you wish it was Christmas every day. Seeing the joy in the children's eyes. Seeing the old people smile. The chance that Christmas never go away. Hope of Christmas never go away. No, you think about that. If only there was actually a time machine. I actually wish I had one of these so that I could have used it like at 11:30 last night or something. You know, when you're realizing that it's coming real close to the end. You know, and if I would have had it and I knew how to work it, you know what I would be doing? I'd be pushing that time back to the 24th of November, Black Friday.
Yeah.
Actually, the Thanksgiving night at like 6 o'clock or so, or maybe 7 or 8, only this time it would be with all the malls open. None of the certain malls closed or anything like that. They'd be all open and we'd be all ready to go and have the extended Christmas. And folks, I'm excited that next year is going to be again another prolonged season because of the calendar. Thanksgiving is going to be the earliest it can possibly be with it being on November 22nd. And so it'll essentially mean, if you want to look at it as far as full days, it'll be equal out to about 33 days of the so-called regular Christmas time. Obviously, Catholics would count 31 of those days as, actually 28 of them really, as Advent. But I say, you know, it's whatever you want it to be, you know. It could be part of Christmas or it could be Advent, you know. Because I see it as more than just a couple of days. I see it as a season, you know. And I've said that because of this cold weather. I personally have said that some of these Christmas stations should just play straight up to New Year's Eve because it is cold outside. And so, you know. But folks, before we go, I just want to say this real quick. I want you to really think about what I talked about earlier and making these New Year's resolutions and building up your faith in God for these things. Start really thinking about what you want to happen for you next year. Spiritual and not so. I just really want you to think about this. Next time I'm going to show you some ways how to open up the new year and close out the old one. Now, so folks, until next time, everybody, God first, God always, and And we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year.
Good tidings we bring to you and your king. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Call everybody blessed, and until next time, God first and God always.
And God always. All right. Bless you, man.
Bless you, too. Thanks so much.